For those of you who don't know me or wish to forget, I'm Doug Newman. I'm one of the elders here at the church. And I've been asked to share this morning. Interesting thing is, it's been quite a while since I've shared. So, could be a little rusty. I'm going to move this down a bit because Mike said if it gets too close to my mouth, he was going to slap me. So, we don't want that to happen. This is us. Everybody knows that a couple weeks back, we started a series called This Is Us. We were talking about the little church that could, the little church that does, and now it's This Is Us. Everybody knows that, except for me, because I had a different slide, but Paul has graciously taken care of it and put down This Is Us, because that's what we're supposed to be talking about today. Just in case you're wondering, the rest is okay. So let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, as Logan prayed, Lord, I pray your spirit would fall on us, that we would hear your word, that we would be more than hearers of your word, but doers of your word. This is us. We want to follow you. We want to do what you have us do. In your name, amen. So our second, let's see if this is going to work. We're going to go to the second slide already, Paul. Core values. The first value that Tim talked about was we're spiritual environmentalists. I have to tell you, when I read that, we'll find out if Tim is watching because he'll text me. When I first heard that title, I thought, what is that? I have no idea. As we went through that service, I thought, wow, we are. We're spiritual environmentalists. We're looking to the future. We're getting hold of things. That's amazing. The second thing that we are is we are people that have prayer as our lifeline. So when you think about core values, I'm a bit of a simple person, so I decided I would look up a few things. And I thought I'd start with core. I'll give you a sideways view. The core of a person is right here. You can tell from me that I've developed my core over years in a way that shouldn't be developed. If we wanted to see a developed core properly, we'd have Wayne come up here, but he'd want to take his shirt off, and that's just too much for us now. It's wonderful being up here as opposed to being the brunt of the shots. The core, that's one of the definitions of core, is people take care of their core. They make sure that it's strong. Because if your core is strong, everything else feeds from that. It becomes strong. The cutting board. The apple. Nice apple, nice stem on the apple. I had to go through our apples to find one that was going to be relatively straight. I had one like this, and I knew that wouldn't work for me. What's this thing? Yeah. Wow. And this? What's important about the core? It's the seeds, yeah. Look at those things in there. You don't get an apple tree from taking one of these and taking a bite out of it and then just holding on to part of it. This is the tasty part, but this is what makes it possible for us to have the tasty part. It's a core. When we're talking about who we are at City Light Church, and everyone that's here, I'm excited you're here. welcome you. Come on up and have a slice of apple. The core is so very important to us. It's the tough central part of various fruits that contain the seeds. How many here eat the core? One, two? Okay, I golf with a guy here in town, and I gotta tell you, there is nothing left of the apple when he's done. I don't understand it. I don't know whether he's trying to become a tree, but he eats the core. I find it bitter, but it produces. If you have a proper core, it produces something that's good. It builds into a person's character. If we're talking about the core, we talk about how people are. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else." I've heard that scripture forever. The second part really hit me. "For it determines the course of your life." We're going to talk about our core here. One of the core values that we have is that we're a church that prays. We're a church that prays. That is a core value to us. And one of those things that we have to do is we have to hold on and take care of our heart, make sure that we determine that it is for the course of my life. So I think about how we fill our core, how we fill our heart. I know that if I don't plant these seeds, nothing happens. When I think about my body, when I think, let's move away from that. When I think about my heart, my spirit, what I plant in there is at the core, and it will impact what happens, yes? So if I am so busy thinking about everything else and forgetting about things that should be my core, I can expect to have some problems. We need to pay very careful attention to how we fill our life, what it's being fed. I had an amazing opportunity when my son was about 8 months old. So it was just the other day. He's 47 now, I believe. He was about 8 months old, and I went to a tour of the Middle East. And I remember going across, they called it the Allenby Bridge. It was from General Allenby, I guess, from one of those countries. Wow, it's left me, into Jerusalem, into Israel. And as we went across, the first thing that we came to was a fruit stand. I happen to love oranges. The oranges look like grapefruits. And again, I'll go to my core. You can see that I probably don't do things unless they're in excess. So I had this orange, and I've never in my life tasted anything so sweet, so amazing. So I had another one, and we could go on with the rest of the story. But those oranges were amazing. In our travels, I then went to a place where they had blood oranges, and quite a bit smaller. I peeled it open, and I thought, that looks weird because it had red running through it. I took a bite, and it was so sour to me. I thought, why would anybody want to eat that? In our life, in our core today, I would encourage us all to work at being an orange like I found in Israel. Something that is desirable, something that draws people to it. That's what we want in our life. We want to be in a position that people see something. What they see, they want. What they want, they'll go for. So we need to make Jesus the center of our lives, the source of our strength. And if we do that, What follows will flow out of him. Not out of me, not out of an apple core like that. We were watching a movie maybe a month ago now at home on the Jesus Revolution. And it was quite interesting. Some of us were old enough to remember when that was going on. And we're talking about in the Jesus Revolution, the fellow that came and he was preaching the gospel. It was wonderful. It was amazing. And people were being saved and people were being impacted in their life. And people were telling him how amazing he was. And something happened. The core went from Jesus to, I'm pretty good at this. And he had a fall in his life. My understanding is that before he passed away, he made a correction and came back knowing that Jesus is, in fact, the way we need to create and do our daily lives. So then we go on to values. Let's see if I can do this. I was talking to Simply Computing this week about a new computer, and they said, oh my goodness, that's obsolete. So I do have a plug-in if I need it. So you'll have to bear with me here. So values, the beliefs that people have, especially about what's right and wrong, what is most important in life, and what controls our behavior. That's what a person values. All different ways of having values, but values are the individual beliefs that will motivate us to act one way or another. If I have a value where I was schooled this morning by Bob. He said, did you watch the game on Friday night between the Stampeders and the Lions? He was schooling me on that. He was telling me that there was something else happening there. My belief that the Stampeders would once again rise to glory. Wow! Bob was very quick to tell me that they didn't make the playoffs this year for the first time in how many years? 20 years. In 20 years, the first time my Stamps haven't made it. That's really something because it's not like they're from Edmonton. How important is it to have a solid belief in something that is eternal? We have the opportunity here. Our values can't be based on things that are temporal, that are fleeting, that are moving on. But instead, we need to have our values on something that is solid. We can go to the next slide there, please. Thank you. In our statement, it says that we're a church that does preach. I'm going to talk today about four prayers that we need to have as part of our core values. Four types of prayer from the scriptures that teach us if our values are going to be strong, if our values are going to be good, that's what we need to do. We're going to be challenged in a constant connection with God. Our prayer is for him to sustain and to guide us. We need that to happen. So, there we are. The next... Did I skip a slide on you, Paul? Okay, good. So, there's our statement. That was brought on by you folks, or about 60% of the people that attend here. Our second core value was we are a people and a house of prayer, both corporate and personal prayer. We want to have a constant connection with God, let him sustain and guide us, and it's our first step in every situation. I would love you to be honest, but I won't put you on the spot. I'll put me on the spot. The first step is not always for me to pray. I believe I've taken on a role in my life, that of being a fixer. And when something happens, I need to fix it. I have a daughter at home, well, not at my home, at her home, and she's been sick for 4 years. I have prayed. I've prayed a lot, but the first thing I thought of was, okay, how can I fix this? I have no medical background, no medical knowledge. I'm a good medical practitioner as far as being the subject of, my goodness, what's wrong with him? I've got that part down pat, but I want to fix things. And here, I can't do anything about it. I've prayed and I've said, God, here's a great opportunity for you to heal Megan. Whatever she has right now, Lord, let it be on me. I will walk with that. I will take it on. I won't complain. Just let her be. And you know, that's as a father prays. I really, really would like that. That hasn't happened. And I don't know whether that's why I sometimes will tend to manipulate things in my own way, but it needs to be a first step. Proclaiming these statements as our core values, if I was going to grade myself on how they are, it would remind me of my high school years. It would be average at best. So four prayers that we're going to look at. If I can get it to move over here. We're strengthened in the power through prayer. We're strengthened in power through prayer. That's number one. We need power. We get it through prayer. Number two, we want to be active in sharing our faith. If we are a church that is a praying church, both corporately and individually, I want us to realize that we need to be active in sharing our faith. Wherever we are, whether we're here, whether we're at work, as Jaden prayed this morning, whether we're at school, we need to be active in sharing our faith. We need to pray that there will be unity in us. I'll go into these in a bit, but the fourth thing that we're going to pray about today or talk about today is we pray so that we'll know what's best in our life. Knowing what's best in our life. Okay. My obsolete computer just, there we go. Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 to 17 says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives." I've got that way too small in print for me. I apologize for this. Just a second. That might be better. Yeah, there you go. I'll turn around. It's my best side. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all saints, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. But it doesn't stop there. I pray that you will be active in sharing your faith so that. There's a reason why. So that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. If we are active in sharing our faith, we go from that and know that we have a full understanding of everything that God has. We need to share that. Christ's indwelling gives us strength. He gives us power to overcome temptation, power to stand strong, power to be bold, and he gives that so that we can dwell in Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down." We've got our apple over here. "Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should know, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the full love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life. So we do this. We talk, we share our faith, and through that we learn and we see more and more and more of what he is and what he's done. I'm going back, Paul, to the... I'm going back to the strengthened part. This next slide thing is driving me crazy on this. I apologize. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 and 17, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit of his inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. I pray that you'll be rooted and established in love." And then going on to Philemon, Paul had me confused a bit earlier today. He was giving me different translations of what Philemon was. "I always thank my God as I remember you in prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith." Sorry, we've already gone through that, haven't we? You know, I used to come with paper. I saw Claudio. I saw Tim. I think I'll go back to paper. I'm sorry about that. So we've already talked about being actively sharing our faith. The deal here is that when we talk about this, there's a danger in complacency today. Would you agree with that? There's a danger in complacency today. We need to be active in this. Paul's prayed in Philemon that we would stay away from that. We would have it so that we'd have a full understanding of every good thing of Christ. There's a danger today of the complacency of focusing on inward things, on becoming self-centered, being judgmental or critical, being manipulated by fear. That's an easy thing to have happen today, because we don't live in a world that promotes and talks all about all the good things. Sometimes you have to go looking for that, don't you? But here, we want to be active in that. We don't share our faith because sometimes we forget the importance of it. How important is your faith today? Let me ask this question for those of you who accepted the Lord later on. How important is your faith today compared to the day that you accepted Jesus as your Savior? I was quite young when I first heard the good news of the gospel. And I remember immediately going to my grade one teacher and telling her that I had a smile in my heart. And she was, "What do you mean you have a smile in your heart?" I asked Jesus into my heart last night, and I've got a smile in my heart. That meant a lot to me. That was as articulate as I was back then, and apparently I should go back there. Today, how important is the faith that we have? We forget that importance. We've been rejected too many times. Why in heaven's name would I go about sharing my faith? The last time I talked to somebody, it was quite interesting, because this week I was sharing with somebody about the Lord, and they were not shy in what they thought of it. They like me. I think they like me. But they were not interested in my faith whatsoever, and made it very clear that that would be the way they would remain feeling. Then there's the part about, do you feel qualified enough to share your faith? We've talked and gone through a time of prayer here in the church. We've gone through so many different things where we've learned how to pray. I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about why we pray, why we need to be a praying church. We need to share our faith through being direct. There's different ways of sharing our faith, right? I can tell you my favorite one here in a minute, but Peter in Acts chapter 2 said, everyone, listen up here. These guys, they're not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And he stood up there and he let everybody know. He wasn't shy. He was direct. If you feel that way, if you feel called to do that, that's a good thing. Second way of doing it, and this is by no means an exclusive amount, the second way of doing it is telling your story. We have a thing at home where, and I may have said this before, if I have, I'm sorry. Jane will come home and she'll say, it's cold in here. And meanwhile, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt going, you know, come on, this is a little warm. And she says, it's cold in here. And I said, no, it's not cold in here. It's warm in here. Silly illustration. Where it happened that we have found peace in our life at home is we now use the term, I'm cold in here. I can't argue that with her. Right? I can argue whether it's cold in the house or not. I cannot argue that she's cold because I'm not her. So if she's cold, she's cold. So when we tell our story about what Jesus has done for us, people can't argue that because it's what he's done for me. He put a smile in my heart. Excuse me. He put a smile in my heart. Nobody can take that away from me. What has Jesus done? We can tell our story. Christy was so good, she gave me a bottle of water. And it's right here. So tell your story. We have another way of doing it. We've got connect cards at the back. How can we connect with people? You know what? If you feel like taking a connect card home today and giving it to somebody, if we run out, I'll pay for the extra. We need to connect with people. We need to reach out to people. And that's just one way of doing it. We can go ahead. We can take a connect card home. We can talk to somebody. The last thing that I think is a very good thing is live a life that is attractional. What do you think of that? Live a life that's attractional. Who do you want to be around? The person that has nothing but, oh man, it's another day. Look at, there's clouds. You know, it's 22 degrees. It's nice. It's not Calgary. Why did I say that? It's not Edmonton. Oops. Wow. That'll tell you something. Yeah. It's not Edmonton. We're in Victoria. There's a lot to be excited about. If we live an attractional life, people will be more drawn to it. If I sit in a corner and go, man, woe is me. If I spend all my time thinking about how life could be, how I think it should be, who wants that? But if I'm excited about what's happening in my life, if I see the goodness and glory of God, We talked in our life group, which is starting up in 2 weeks. We talked in our life group that when you fly, every time I fly from here to Calgary and I look at the mountains, oh man, Psalms 8 screams out to me. Lord, when I consider the work of your hands, the sun, the moon, the stars, what is man? What am I? I'm nothing compared to what Jesus has done for me. And if I get excited about that, I think somebody else might get excited about it. He has made an entire walking example of the goodness that he gives in life, if we take time and we do that. When we share our faith, we become part of a divine story. I quoted out of Acts chapter 2 where Peter went on and preached the gospel. We could go through all the people that have represented the kingdom throughout the Bible. And when we do that, we share a part of a divine story. The second thing that happens when we do that is our faith grows. I know that when I've had opportunities to share, regardless of what happens, I have to be a little sharper about what I'm going to say. Our faith will start to grow. And we're reminded when we do that of what we have in Christ Jesus. So that would get back to the, are we a bit complacent in our prayer life? According to Philemon, we do that so that we'll have a full understanding of every good thing. We'll pray, we'll share our faith so that we'll have an understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. We need to continue on with that. Okay, we're going to try it again, see if we can move along here. Unity in Romans chapter 15, 5 through 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give the same attitude of mind towards each other in Christ Jesus, so that with one mind and one voice, we can declare God, Father, and the Lord Jesus. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We do that so that. I'm a fairly simple person. You've probably got that already. But if we have that mind in us that Jesus has, and we share that, we do it so that others will see, so that we'll have a better understanding. As a praying church, we need that. My goodness. My wife would be asking me, are you getting a cold? No, honey. So unity is something that's so important. Think about times where you haven't been in a situation where there's been unity. I'm pretty sure we can all think of something like that. Good feeling? Not at all, huh? It really isn't. We need to have unity. We need to be joined together as a whole. Paul tells the believers that God will give us the same attitude. The same attitude. We can glorify God when we're together. We can accept each other in order to bring praise to God. Does it bring praise to God when we're fighting? When we've got conflict with each other? It doesn't bring praise to God. We need to have unity. We seek unity because we require each other. We seek unity because we require it and we need it. I need to be in unity with you. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies are many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Sorry you're stuck with me. And I guess I could say the same thing, couldn't I? We need that unity. We need to be together. Unity seen and experienced will help the world focus on seeing God's love. That's important. It's good for us, for sure. But when you see the conflict in this world, whether it be political right now, whether it be the wars that are going on, the difficulties that are happening, John 13, 34 and 35, and so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Think about that. Please just think about that for a second. If we love each other, it shows the world the love of Jesus. It shows the world the impact that Jesus has had on our lives. That doesn't mean I have to agree with everything you say, and it certainly doesn't mean you have to agree with anything I say. We need that unity, though, to love the Lord, to show the world. We require unity because we can do so much more together than we can separately. In Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. They felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything. There was no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them. Isn't that something? I don't know how that impacts our world today. When you look around, went for a drive downtown yesterday and very aware that not everybody has a home that's as nice as mine. Not everybody has a full fridge that I have. I believe that the world today is sick and tired, though. I believe the world today is sick and tired of hearing about the love of Jesus. I think they want to see it. I think that it's time that they see it. Knowing what's best in Philippians 1 chapter 9, it says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless before God. Have you ever asked the question of yourself, what's the best thing to do here? What is it that I need to do that would be the appropriate thing? You will be able to discern in your life what is best. That's a good thing, just in case you were wondering. I think that's a good thing. The key to knowing what's best is knowing God. The key to what's best is knowing God, seeking God honestly, praying, as we've talked about as a church, learning His Word, applying His Word, seeking godly counsel, learning His Word and applying His Word, he says again. The key to knowing what is best is knowing God. So I'll just wrap up by saying that we, now that we are strengthened, because we're strengthened because of God, now that we're actively sharing our faith, now that we have unity in a diverse world, now that we know and understand what's best, one final thing. And I think this is the crux of it all, folks. For me, it is. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, of all communities, of all people in the Gorge Tillicum area, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Oh, I like this. Be sure of this. I'm with you always, even to the end. We don't do all this because it'll make our life easier. We do it because we've been told to do it. We're supposed to put some feet on our gospel. City Light Church, that little church that does, that is involved in being spiritual environmentalists, being a praying church, let it be our lifeline.